We got Tim. Tim found his way here. Hold on. Let's
go.
Tim.
What's up, Peeps? Tim?
Yo, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I owe y'all money. I owe y'all burgers. I owe y'all fries. No, I don't know. You're in, vegan you're in tacos.
You're in freedom mode right now, bro. We just here talking bro. About Jesus and the cross, bro. That's you're good.
Your well, sins have been forgiven, man.
Tim.
Hey, the finished work of the cross, man. You're forgiven. You're good, brother.
Thank y'all, man. I appreciate the grace. Honestly, I'm high on responsibility, and if I miss like a time or a appointment, my soul is crushed. So thank y'all for the grace, man.
I'm the same way, bro. But I literally said it at the top of the podcast. I was like, he's a busy dude, so I for sure know that he probably has something going on that it was important, and that was all good because it happens to me all the time, and then I beat myself up. So it's like literally no worries. It's perfect
time. Man.
We're on part two. We usually do 30-minute episodes, so we were literally. This is can be the great beginning of the part two, man. So how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are y'all doing?
We chilling, bro.
Well, now where are you at, Tim?
I am in Denton, Texas, at my house.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're still is that close to is that in Dallas? Around
so Denton is about 35 minutes from downtown Dallas.
Okay
So my boy Josh Altop knows you, or do you know Josh Altop?
I sure do absolutely. That's crazy. It's a small world.
He was like, you're gonna have him on. I was like, yo, we're gonna have Tim Ross on, and he goes, really? I'm excited to see what he says. And I was like, what you mean, bro? You act like I just invited him to like some kind of sacrifice. This is like anti-God.
That's hilarious.
But that's he told me y'all kind of was together in the Gateway movement, right? Like
we were, absolutely. Him and his wife Allie, and now he's out in Nashville. And but I'm originally from Cali, born and raised, Inglewood. But I've been out in Texas since 97.
Yeah. So tell us kind of like, your origin story. I always ask your Marvel origin story. Like right now you got this thing called Upset the Gram, right? Which I'm curious.
Yep.
Like, what is you trying to upset? I love the name, but like,
thank you, bro. Yeah, so I'll give you the context to the whole Upset platform first, because that's the name of our company as well as Upset the World. So it actually came from the book of Acts, chapter number 17, verse number 6. Paul and Silas had been preaching the gospel, and a mob of angry Jewish people got mad at them because it was affecting their business, their finances, and their whole way of life, really. Yeah. And then so they go inside this dude Jason's house and yank him out, trying to look for Paul and Silas. But they go, Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world, and now they're here to disturb our city too. But in the Greek, it literally means they come and turned our world upside down.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like wildly exaggerated and like wildly prophetic, right? Like literally they didn't turn the whole world upside down, but literally the gospel will, right? So. Right. That became like a revelation. Then it became a sermon. Then it became a sermon series when I was a lead pastor. And then it became a book. And then, in March of 2020, so I wasn't on social media before March of 2020, right? I've had like a love hate relationship with social.
Yeah.
And I'm an introvert. So I'm like, I don't care. I ain't checking for it. Right. So, I wind up doing what happened, so COVID hits, churches shut down, and the elders of the church that I was the pastor of, they were like, bro, we really don't care that you're an introvert. We don't even care about your personality right now. Like, you need to be online. Like, the building's empty. You're preaching to an empty building. Like, get on social media. So Upset the Gram was a passive aggressive way to get back on social media without using my name. It was like mad petty, bro. It was like, I'll get on, but I ain't using my name, right? And so I typed in Upset the Gram, y'all, like literally expecting it to like already be taken. Cause it's like millions of people on Instagram, right? Like, so I'm like, somebody had to have taken this name, and it popped up green, and I'm like, really? So I took it, and it stuck. It stuck. That's the OG reason, bro. That's for real.
2020 is when you popped on the scene, like online. It was at 2020.
Yeah, I wasn't. 2020, bro.
And in this existing format that what you have, which is a podcast, yeah, like in that kind of format, or did it start off you doing sermons as well? Because I saw your videos and it's some preachings, a lot of podcasting.
Yep.
What did it start off?
Yep. It started off with the I came back online in 2020. I call it online. I'm dating myself because I'm 47, so I'll be 48 this year. So anyway. I come on social March of 2020, and it's just feeding sermon clips, you know what I mean? And then I would do some Instagram lives, especially over the summer after, George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery lost their lives. I was talking to a lot of people, like navigating. It was really cathartic for me, but holding space for other people as well.
Yeah.
And then Juliet, my wife, and I would do some some Instagram lives. But bro, the podcast didn't start until July of last year.
Oh, okay.
So the podcast, the first episode of the podcast was July 6th. So it's only been out for 10 months.
Have you been able to decipher what's been the, like, was there a moment of pop? Like, what was it? Was it the podcast? Was it the whatever? Like, what do you think it is that's resonating?
Oh, it was the podcast. Yeah, it was the podcast. Like, because I've been preaching for 27 years, bro.
Jeez.
And like, I've gone all over the world. I've been quite content to like have a measure of like anonymity and privacy, and like you go somewhere and not be recognized. It's like I've been able to move around the country, you know what I mean, and be behind some very, very influential people. Like I served with Bishop Jakes for 13 and a half years. I was young adult pastor there for 4. I served Robert Morris, you know, I pastored a church, but I never had like this huge, enormous profile. And I wasn't chasing it. Like I'm chill where I am.
Yeah.
And then, bro, I started that podcast. And the only thing I can say is like, God just got in the algorithm and was like, I've been waiting for this.
Mm.
It's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Because I've reached more people with this podcast in 10 months. Yeah. Than I've reached in 27 years of preaching.
Sheesh. Wow.
So it's crazy.
So obviously you shared with us kind of the origin story of Upset the Gram. Now I'm sure, because I've seen, like, before I even knew we were going to have you on the podcast, I've seen stuff of yours, like, you know, on my Explore page or whatever, or I've seen somebody take like a bit of one of your sermons and put it on Twitter, and me not knowing anything, I'm like, whoa, the way he worded that, that's a little controversial. Like, obviously not knowing your background and stuff, and that's probably just the way that you communicate. So with you upsetting the gram and having a name like that, I'm sure that there's some people that instantly just go to that place and just assume like, oh, this dude's just saying like just kind of out of pocket shit to like upset the gram. And so for you, with that origin of how you started and now having kind of the stage that you have, is this still kind of the same mission? Or do you feel like there's a pressure now that you got to kind of like feed more and to make sure this algorithm thing gets pushed out?
No, bro, like it's actually the opposite, because when I think upset, I don't think pissed off. I don't think make angry. I literally think turn upside down. That's literally what the definition of upset means, is to turn upside down. I believe that the Bible is the most upsetting book that's ever been written. Jesus lived the most upsetting life that's ever been lived. And when he came into my life, he literally turned my life upside down. Mm-hmm. So like the whole mission of Upset is literally to just turn people's lives upside down, which from the kingdom's perspective would actually be right side up.
Right.
Right. Right. It just so happens that along the way, like this, you know, the imbroglio that I'm in right now is that I said that Jesus is a stripper. Most people don't have any context to why I said that. They're not going to go back to get context. And even the people that have got context still think it's out of pocket. I completely understand, but I'm also talking to a particular church. I was at Transformation Church, mm-hmm. whose target audience is a 24-year-old black girl from the hood.
Right.
So the way that I would talk to a 24-year-old black girl from the hood is completely different than the way I would talk to a 55-year-old upper middle class white man from South Lake, Texas.
Right.
So y'all understand, we can code switch at any time to fit the audience that we're in front of. It just so happens now that when you preach, the whole world listens.
Yeah.
And while I try to keep that in mind, at the end of the day, I have to focus on who I'm talking to in the room.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not making a United Nations address. I'm not doing a State of the Union speech for the United States of America. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, talking to the audience I'm talking to. And they understood what I meant in the room, even though the world doesn't understand what I said outside of the
man,
room.
That
you
got to
live
is,
with that.
Bro, and that is so biblical. I want to bring you into our first part of our conversation, the first 30 minutes. Me and B.
Please, because I'm late. So, please, I'm here.
We were having this conversation, and I'd love to know your take on this. We were growing into our faith as we come out of deconstruction, and now we're reconstructing, and you know, we're constantly tearing down, building up. We put forth this idea that was our faith and our life meant to outgrow the Bible? And what we mean by that is not that the Bible becomes useless or irrelevant, but that it was the training wheels of our faith that was launching us into understanding that God exists outside of these 55 books. Like, he didn't just stop talking at Revelation. He didn't just stop speaking to his people. So is there more of him to gain that exists outside of this book and finding him in places that we wouldn't typically look, or using the Bible as a crutch, like as a man, if I have to do my faith outside of this book, if this book gets taken away from me, if we lose churches, if we lose all this stuff, does my walk with him cease to exist because I lean too much on a book that we have called the Word of God, but his word is ever speaking? Like, he's speaking outside of this context. Like, but when you're saying that I have to be present on who I'm speaking to, that goes to like what I believe about the Bible. I'm like, man, I really do think Paul was just talking to the church at Philippi. Like, I think he was talking to his congregation and didn't think, like what you said, people were going to copy and paste what he said and just, boom, I'm going to put this in Austin. I'm going to put this in Cairo. I'm just going to copy and paste everywhere. And everybody got to follow this book because I, Paul, knew that y'all were going to take this and run with it.
Yeah.
You know
It's a very compelling thought to have. I believe in the canonized scripture. I believe in Genesis to Revelation as it has been given to us throughout, you know, a couple of thousand years. I take it as it is, and I believe that applies, that I can use those scriptures and take it to the hood. I can use those scriptures and take it to Rwanda. I can use those scriptures and take it to the UK. I can use those scriptures and take it to Latin America. I can use those scriptures and take it to Ecuador. I can take it around the world because the gospel has a passport. It is one size fits all. Right. But the out of all those places I just named, I won't communicate the exact same way. And so everybody thinks that they actually have like a copyright on the way the gospel should be communicated. And people have kind of self-deputized themselves as like, I am the keeper of the flame.
Right.
Right. I started my podcast to ensure that no one like Tim Ross would screw up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
As if I could.
Right.
Right. The gates of hell won't stand against his church. I can't. My little sermon can. If the sermon sucked, you don't have to listen to it. Like, it's it's kind of simple.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I love, like, I still honor, read, love the scriptures. You know, I guess my bigger thought was just, man, like, as we enter into this new world and new understanding, and what even before we push recorded, we really haven't talked about it on this podcast, but we were talking about, we have a pastor friend that said a certain thing online, talking about the trans community. And mm-hmm. And I got to be honest, like, does scripture or the Bible really give us any kind of roadmap for this new world and this new type of conversation that I almost feel like we're forced to have because of the amount right. of our queer brothers and sisters that are professing Christ? And I'm like, yeah, bruh, Christ is for everyone.
Yeah.
But how do we now navigate for sure. this new world and this new dialogue when, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see a roadmap in the scriptures for this type of conversation, minus Jesus finding himself with the outcasts of every single society and just loving on them.
That's kind absolutely. Of like
the only place where I find a accurate roadmap.
Yeah. So I agree with you. We have taken something that was supposed to be simple, and we've really, really complicated it, right? Like Genesis 3 and the fall of Adam and Eve is pretty simple, mm-hmm. right? If we own it, right? And then the devolvement of humanity between Genesis 4 with the first murder that happened between two brothers that came out of the same womb, right? Yeah. And by chapter 6, God's like, drown them all. Like, dang, fam. Like, I wish we would have had like more of a Lord of the Rings Genesis instead of like the Bible Genesis, because at least it would have been like 30 chapters before anything popped off bad.
Yeah.
But we got what we got, right? And so you move forward and you see like, the Bible covers about 4,000 years of human history, if not 4,500 years of human history. And I believe the scriptures are pretty clear on what is good and what's not good for us to do, while still saying everybody is invited in as you are, but not to stay who you are. Mm. That means everybody has to pick up their cross and die. The heterosexual, the homosexual, the transgender, the queer, right? Yeah. The racist, the freaking liar, the everybody, right? Everybody dive in the pool and die, right? So yeah. if the equality is death, and we present that and then allow everybody to make their decision, then I think it's all good. But if we say he loves you, and you don't have to change anything, then that's not the gospel that I see presented.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to call it a spade and allowing people to make their decision as opposed to trying to sell people on it. That's what I've always felt uncomfortable with people that try to sell the gospel. Like, bro, I promise you fit in here. You know what I mean? He doesn't care about anything. And I'm like, nah, fam, he does care about some stuff.
You gotta count the cost before you build the building.
Exactly. I promise you, fam, he cares about some of this stuff, right? So there's a lot of stuff that he doesn't care for, and there's a whole bunch of stuff he absolutely cares about, right? And so I try to keep it that simple, and I've been able to rock with, bro, people from that are atheists, agnostics, you know, LGBTQIA+ community, you know, disenfranchised, deconstructionist, reconstructionist, destructionist, like all the NIST, right? Like I'm down with all of them, but I'm not changing what scripture says to hang out with them. Mm-hmm. I can hold the tension of where they are without compromising where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
yeah,
that's deep.
That's good.
That's deep. Being able to hold the tension and not let it dissuade you from, because we were always taught, you know, be in the world, not of the world. And really what that translated mm-hmm. to me was, don't rock with anybody that don't think like you think. Like, at least maybe that's how I took it.
Well, that's the way that, well, you took it like that because that's how they meant it.
Right. Well, that's how I always felt. It was like, if I befriended, if I attempted to understand, if I attempted to walk in anyone's shoes that didn't agree with me, then I was of the world.
Yeah.
You know, my only reason for being in relationship with anyone was to convince them, sell them my gospel, my way of seeing things.
Yeah.
And it never worked, man. I remember one time
it don't work.
I had a Mormon brother that worked with me at Chick-fil-A back when I was high rolling. And I told this dude, like, I looked at his, I was really into arguing scripture at this point. And I took his Bible and I took mine and I did this whole sequence of like breaking down scripture, where by the end of it, I was able to disprove whatever it is he was telling me.
Mm.
And this boy quit and never came back. And I was like, oh my God, my quote unquote witness made this guy quit his job and not want to come back and ever. That's like, bro,
that's a powerful, that's crazy, because this man is leaving Chick-fil-A. Like, that's just like a whole nother level too. My man said, no, I don't mess with this chicken sandwich no more.
Yo, that dude went to Popeyes. You ran that dude to Popeyes, Manuel.
And I really like sat back and I was like, this can't be the right guy. Like, I'm scaring people away. Like they don't even want to talk to me. That's when I had to switch it up and be like, man, my witness isn't really that great of a witness.
Wow.
People just don't want to talk to me because I want to out-argue people.
Right. And that ain't it. Like Jesus gave us the template on that, right? Like, how many times did the religious leaders roll up on them, trying to trap them, trying to debate them, trying to argue with them? And your boy's just like not having it. He's like, hey, bro, I'm out here with sinners. I'm out here with drunk people. And here's a misconception. People think that Jesus hung around sinners, right? Like, you swing the pendulum the other way. Like, since that didn't work, I'm going to go take shots with my boys. And I'll show them that I love them because I'm going to take shots and pray with them, right? And that's swinging the pendulum the other way as well, when really the middle is Jesus' life, right? Jesus didn't hang around sinners. Sinners hung around Jesus.
Mm.
Like, that's how loving your boy was. That's how kind he was, that they wanted to be around him. And it was more of a tell me more as opposed to a let me tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, and it that takes proximity, and that takes sometimes silence.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to just be in your space and allow you to see how I live my life. And when you see that there's more peace that I carry than what you carry at the end of a bottle, or at the end of banging six chicks in a week, or at the end of like smoking four blunts, whatever the case is, right? Pick your poison. Then it's like, yo, how are you still so chill? Right? How do you have peace? Like, how, like, the old you would have slapped dude in the face for talking to you reckless. And now, like, how do you laugh that off?
Yeah.
Well, now I get to tell you where that's from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
and you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's so good. And I think the picture that you just painted of Jesus is that of beauty, right? Like, and I think what we've seen, especially more recently, in American Christianity, is a lot of Christians, you know, now thinking that I got to exert the kingdom of God through politics, right? So I'm going to get heavily involved in all the drama and all the toxicity of all of that. And instead of our faith and our life singing this beautiful song, which I think Jesus is by far the most fascinating, beautiful thing that has ever existed and will ever exist, instead of singing a beautiful song, we become a part of an ugly protest. So it's like, now there's a generation, obviously under, I'm getting older now. I'm not like, but I'm around a bunch of young people all the time. And I'm like, I get why you're leaving church. And so One of the things I'd love to ask you as someone who is a pastor is the church of the future.
Used to be.
Oh, he used to be pastor.
Oh, used to be. You're not a pastor.
Yeah, anymore? Yeah. So, yeah. No. So I pastored for 7 years and okay. I transitioned the church. It still exists.
Yeah.
No immorality, okay, no cool. illegality. I didn't do nothing stupid. But the Lord told me to step down and do this podcast stuff full time. So my last day as a pastor, was December 31st of 22.
Amazing. So with you now being a part of
but I still preach in churches.
A part of the church, right? Like as a whole, not necessarily in that role. Yeah, that big church. What's this? Mm-hmm. What's the church of the future? What do you envision that to be? Because as we kind of like, we take a look at numbers, right? Numbers are dwindling and sadly, and at the same time too, I know all of a sudden, I know like the story ultimately that he's writing is that of, it's going to be the best comeback victory of all time. Right. So for you, what do you envision that to be?
Yeah, man, I think the church before Jesus, rolls all of this back up. I think it's going to look like it did in the book of Acts, right? It's going to be large gathering where we get to celebrate what Jesus did. And the rest of the week is going to be chilling out in the house with your homies, like going, yo, this is how my Monday went. This is how my Tuesday went. You know, will you pray for me? You know, I need gas for the week. I need you to spot me, It's going to be way more community and conversation. The preach word is never going to go away. I'm a preacher. I never want to stop preaching. I never want to stop listening to preaching. But I think the advent of podcasts is a craving of people to say, I don't get to ask a question in a sermon. Mm-hmm. I don't get to ask a question at the end of this revival. I just want to talk.
Yeah.
Right. And if the Bible pops up in the middle of the conversation, great. If it doesn't, it's okay. But I just need to talk some of this out. I need to know how to practically apply this to my life. And so I feel like the church of the future is going to be much more conversational and much less preachy.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you something. In this journey, because you said you've been doing this for 27 years, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so since what I'm assuming, your ascension into some type of notoriety, has there been something that has upset you, that has done the flip in you, that you're like, oh, snap, this newfound platform, this newfound way of doing things has now upset something in me that I have to make a little shift or call a little audible on?
Well, if I'm going back to the literalness of being turned upside down, I had no idea God was going to give me more influence sitting down talking than I had standing up preaching. Like this is, I mean, I've done this almost for 30 years. You can wake me up at 2:30 in the morning. I could preach a sermon. And he goes, yeah. Walk away from that. Sit down in this chair and talk to people right where they are. And to see the amount of influence and visibility that he's given me as a result of that is incredibly humbling. And it's wildly bewildering. Like it's something I'm still trying to get used to because I've only been out here for like four months and a few days full time doing this.
Wow.
And I've been able to talk to, you know, celebrities and athletes and musicians and entertainers. They all in my DM like, bro, would you please pray for me? I saw this clip. Can you talk to me about this? I saw that. Can I come fly with you and hang with you for a day? And I'm like, what? Like, you know, that's been upsetting in like the most beautiful way, but it's not without its knocks and its criticism because most people have historically known me as a preacher, And when I sit down and talk, my cadence is different. My talk is different. My language is different. And that's disappointing to some people that only know me as a preacher. They're like, you're a preacher. You can't say that. You're a preacher. You can't. And so I'm not trying to push the envelope. I'm really like, this is the way I've always talked.
Yeah.
The Lord just told me to take something that was very private and make it public. But you were never going to hear that on a Sunday because that was a sermon.
Yeah.
Who drops an F-bomb in the middle of a sermon? Nobody. Right? Like, it doesn't happen. But if I get pissed about something that we're talking about with a, you know, with somebody that's been sexually abused or going through like horrific trauma, that might trigger something in me. And I might say a few words that y'all don't hear on Sunday mornings. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if that's not something that a person can handle, then there's 5 other million podcasts out there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And well, let me ask you this, because we had a probably like 2 episodes ago, we started discussing the, which I don't know if you've seen it, the documentary of Hillsong. Have you seen that? Okay.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So the reason I bring it up is because, you know, when you're saying all of a sudden you got these influential people in your DMs and now want to kick it with you, are you doing anything to, I guess, protect, now that you're stepping out of like a pastoral situation, anything to protect like certain accountability to keep you like, yo, don't let this thing get to my head. Yo, if I start freaking dipping out in escalades and not being a man of a people, like you need a freaking, somebody needs to tell me something. Don't For leave sure. me out here looking like a mess.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. So number one is the Holy Spirit. I have my personal devotion time with him every day. He convicts me of sin. He don't let me get away with nothing. Hmm. If I'm acting real dumb, Juliet's going to see it next. Juliet can't see it, then I got like 8 dudes in my life that I hold myself accountable to that are going to call me to the corporate in a minute. And Juliet has all their numbers. She can call them whenever she wants. But to let you know how I'm navigating this landscape right now, if they're reaching out to me, that means God's giving me some influence with them, then they have to meet on my terms. Mm. So they need to come to Dallas.
Yeah.
Take a flight to DFW and come to the house, see my wife, see my kids, see how we navigate life. But I'm not coming to your mansion. I'm not coming to your show. I'm 47, not 27. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not impressed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so maybe if I was like in my 20s or in my 30s and like I didn't have like, I wasn't like securing my identity in Christ and still trying to like maybe clout chase a little bit or thinking that this person actually affirms me more than God in heaven, I'd probably be like a little more wooed.
Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm almost 50, fam. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's cool. And I wasn't saying, I obviously didn't bring it up because I was trying to speak negatively of that.
Oh, no, not at all.
But we had that conversation of, you know, is there a place with the idea of the quote unquote celebrity pastor, which we have in America, you know,
yeah,
is there some type of proactive way to get ahead of that? Because whether you like it or not, people are going to hoist you up. They just will. Just like B said, I get your stuff shared to me all the time. And I'm like, oh, he's, for lack of a better word, up next. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
kind of like,
yeah, the rapper.
He may be up, yeah, next. And yeah, it's always like, is there a proactive way to be like, all right, I cannot follow the same exact path that all these people did end up in the same way.
Yeah.
And not at least call attention, yep, to it now to be like, let me put some bumpers up. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Hey, I'm walking through my house because I got to go get my Bible to read y'all something. And like, this is legit been my cheat code. What I'm about to read y'all has been my cheat code to like not fall into that trap. So I want to read it verbatim as opposed to just be like, you know, it's somewhere in the Bible it says.
Hey, so I feel you.
This is one of my, this is Yeah, this is literally one of my cheat codes, bro. That has like saved me from being a fool, because I really do fear the Lord, right? Like, there's a healthy reverential fear that I have of the Lord, right? So this is Acts chapter 12, and it's verses 20 through 23, and this is from NLT, okay? So it says, now Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they sent a delegation to make peace with him because their cities were dependent upon Herod's country for food. The delegates won the support of Blastus, Herod's personal assistant, and an appointment with Herod was granted. When the day arrived, Herod put on his royal robe, sat on his throne, and made a speech to them. The people gave him a great ovation, shouting, "It's the voice of a god, not of a man." Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God.
Mm.
So he was consumed with worms and died. Jeez. So here's what I think has happened to all of our celebrity pastors that have like fallen in some way. At some point, they accepted glory that does not belong to them. A man can be praised, but a man cannot handle glory.
Yeah.
And if you try to hold it even for a minute, it'll consume you. It'll eat you from the inside out. Right? Like, no, Hillsong, these are my people. I love these people to this day. I've preached on their platforms and done all that kind of stuff. But they would tell you, like, yo, at the end of the day, nobody gets into ministry to, like, embarrass God themselves and their families and their congregations. Nobody, like, get, like, Lord, please use me to, like, shake a generation and then F it all up.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's ever prayed that prayer, right?
Right.
And at the same time, if you hold any of that for yourself and you don't pass it off, and nobody can check you no more, and everybody around you is a yes man, and everything you do is the best thing since sliced bread, and nobody can call you out on like some sussy behavior and like, hey bro, you didn't have a glass of wine, like you took six shots,
yeah,
and you was breathing on that girl's neck, your wife ain't even here tonight, like my nigga, you tripping.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody can't say all that to you, you about to be Herod.
Yeah.
So I can set my watch by it. I've seen it happen too many times.
Yeah.
So that's one of the verses that keeps me humble, bro. All glory goes to the Lord. Like, if it's if anything's good, it goes to him. If it's bad, it is 100% me. But if it's anything good, I'ma pass it along to him. I know there's a partnership and God has a role and you have a role, but if it's gonna be glory, go ahead and take that, sir. That's all yours. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
so I love that.
I've been able to juggle it. I've been able, when I was touring and doing my thing, the way I set up my boundaries was, I'm going to tell on myself before anybody has to find out.
That's it.
I just tell myself. So I'm like, I'm about to make, and my wife has a problem with this. She's like, you're too open. And I'm like, babe, the more open I am, the more I'm not afraid to throw my imperfections and my frailties out there.
That's right.
The less people are going to see me as somebody who's trying to be more than what he really is. And so I get ahead of
it. That's right.
Like, I need to call myself out. I need to put it down.
Yeah, for sure. On this
podcast. I need to put, I say it publicly so that way there is a record of me admitting, bruh, I am not everything that anyone thinks I am. Like, I'm just not. And I can't. And people would ask me
so dope
all the time in interviews, they'd be like, how do you keep from your head getting too big, or your, you know, whatever, your ego, whatever. And I'm like, man, I really do believe that at some point it's really what you said. And I haven't heard anyone explain it that way. Like, holding the glory for yourself. Mm. Like, I'm so aware of all the things that I do when no one's watching that I'm like, I don't know where I don't know what soapbox I would stand on for fear that I'm merely standing on a lily pad and I'm going to fall in this water because everyone's going to know my junk, you know? So I'm like, I can't, bro. Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm so aware of how inconsistent I am with my faith walk. Now, I don't stop. That's one thing I can be boastful in, is that I won't stop trying. But other than that, I can't really boast in anything.
Yeah. No, that's great, bro. I'm the same way. Confession is good for the soul. It keeps your soul clean. You know, First John says, confess your sins to God, who's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's vertical. And then James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another and pray for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's horizontal. Most people only confess to God and they wind up, why am I still in the same pattern of behavior? Because forgiveness and cleansing comes from God, but healing comes from confession with one another.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to go to God and say, hey, Lord, please forgive me. I looked at porn. It's another thing to have to look Brandon in the face and be like, oh, Brandon, I looked at porn again. And Brandon's looking at me like, fool, again? Like, you just called me 3 hours ago. Like, which means you don't have no accountability at all. Give me your phone, right?
Like, give me your phone.
You need a flip phone at this point. Yeah, yeah. You need a Nokia flip phone at this point, right? Like, with the two-way intercom on it. You don't get nothing with internet no more, right? Like, accountability is really, really important. And that type of confession will help. So, no, I agree with that. That's a life hack, bro.
Yeah. B, were you going to say something earlier? I think I may have cut you off.
Nah, it's past. Okay. I forgot. It was something there in the moment.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's so good.
Tim, where do you see, man, now that you have found yourself in this new place, 4 months going in, like, do you now, have you caught like a fresh, I know it just kind of happened to you, but have you caught like a fresh vision for it? Like, it's like, okay. There's momentum.
For
sure. Now I'm going to interject, you know, this vision that I have for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I was sexually abused by a teenage boy when I was 8 years old for about a 6 month period of time. It wound up happening to all the young boys my age, including my younger brother. And so I was sexually traumatized at 8. Exposed to porn at 12, addict by 19, give my life to Jesus at 20, and just like go through this whole, you know, really long and slow transformation process. But I kept it. It was a secret from my parents for 11 years. I didn't tell them till I was 19. My mom caught me watching porn when I was 19 on a big screen TV. And I was able to tell her that night, like, I know why I'm doing this. And it ain't because I'm like a horny teenager. It's because I'm medicating pain, right? Well, I just, in that moment, I just had a thought that I'm never going to keep another secret as long as I live. What made me keep it a secret for all that time was vulnerability is dangerous, right? As an 8-year-old boy, if I tell my parents what happened to me, my dad kills this guy, my brother buries the body, and my mom's brokenhearted for the rest of her life. So vulnerability is dangerous, is how I live my life on a subconscious level. I start going to therapy, I do EMDR, and we start targeting the traumatic episodes. I'm able to really talk about them without being triggered. And the narrative flips to now vulnerability is my superpower. And so with vulnerability being my superpower, the parenthetical is, I am vulnerable at the expense of other people's comfort. Whatever you think is TMI is TIM. Like, that's just who I am, right?
Yeah.
So what I see right now is that people are looking for vulnerability and authenticity in conversation, in sermons, in community. And in the absence of that, people are voting with their feet. I can't be a part of this. I cannot be a part of this. And so what I'm trying to do is build an organization that champions vulnerability, that champions authenticity, and, you know, recruiting voices and hiring voices that are down with the same mission. Hey, are you down to upset the world? And are you down to do that from a place of vulnerability?
Yeah.
You might look bad, being vulnerable, but you're going to help a lot of people by being vulnerable, right? And so that's the company that I'm building. That's the voices that I'm recruiting. And God is with us right now. So yeah, we out here.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's what Ange gets so mad that I'm so vulnerable. I just feel like if I don't get detailed in my vulnerability, then I feel like maybe I won't reach that one person who has that detailed issue as well. Instead of me saying, man, I got struggles too. Okay, cool. That's a general letting me know that we all have struggles. But if I get specific in then I'm speaking to someone.
Yeah.
Like I'm speaking to a person. They're like, bruh. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I would always tell the guests that come into our pod. I'm like, tell your story. Yeah. Don't generalize your story. Like, tell it exactly. Every nuance that you think nobody's going to give a crap about. Because I promise you, it's then that somebody thinks that you're literally peeking in on them while they're doing life. Because they have had that thought. And it's powerful. So once you can get that vulnerable and understand that there is power in that, like what you said, it really is a superpower. Because most people are too afraid of looking a certain type of way. So, I mean, I'm with that, bro. So you're recruiting people now.
For sure. B, you got a dip.
Oh, no. Yeah, I got a dip. I love y'all. Tim, so nice meeting you, man.
Love you, bro.
I'll see y'all.
Pleasure. Absolutely.
You're recruiting people now. So this is about to be a whole thing.
It's about to be a whole thing, bro. It's legit about to be the whole thing. I'm like, I'm trying to put the Avengers of vulnerability together.
But no through cap, the podcast forum.
Through the podcast forum. I'm trying to get vulnerable, authentic voices that are like, I'm down for the cause. And because, you know, the basement's going to reach some people and it's not going to reach some people. And so, you know, the more you can diversify the people that are vulnerable and them have a cadence and them be their own unique person, they're going to reach a community that I can't reach. And I'm going to reach somebody that I can't reach, they can't reach, but then we can cross pollinate with each other. We're able to join forces and kind of leverage the platform and do more of what we want to do. So that's the goal right now. That's what we're planning. And that's what we're working diligently on. We don't want to be a part of YouTube's algorithm as believers, you know what I mean? I was demonetized last week for saying the word transgender.
Really?
Like I just said the word and I was demonetized.
Damn.
And I'm just like, well, I can't say the word. Like I didn't say nothing about the community. I just said transgender, you know? And so, but this is, we're still in the nice phase of censorship, you know, and they get to blame it on an ad or, hey, no, I don't think advertisers want to be a part of that or whatever. And it's like, cool. We'll make our own platform and we will say everything we want to say and reach the people we want to reach. And then we'll send you clips and you can just pay us on our clips that are sanitized for YouTube, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that's kind of the vision.
Bro, that is so dope, man. I'm excited for you. I'm excited.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Cause we want to do short. We want to do short film. I did stand-up comedy for 2 years.
Really?
So, yeah. So like I have friends that are comics. We write stuff. I know. And so like it's a very, we want to be able to like, you know, establish a platform that will give us the resources to give the audience that we're after some like high quality production as well. Right. Yeah. So we want to be able to produce specials. We want to be able to do a feature length film one day and just say, oh, we got the money within this company to be able to just shoot our own movie. Right. We ain't got to kickstart. We ain't got to crowdfund. You know, we can just go make a movie that cost $6 million because we felt like it. You know what I mean? And we can put it out through our own channels. We don't have to go knock on Netflix door. We don't have to try to do anything else. So that's kind of a futuristic thing. But yeah, we got some people. I wish we were like 2 months down the road, because then I could tell you who everybody is. But like we're still the ink ain't dry on who we've signed yet, and we haven't even actually launched the app yet. So, but it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited, bro. I'm gonna be following that. That's gonna be something that's just, man, I love it. There's something in me that really, really wants to champion people who actually step out and like don't talk about it. They just be about it, because I know how hard it is to get anything to work.
Yeah,
like, I've been doing this podcast. Yes. I've been doing this for like 3 years, bro. And that's why I'm like, bro, you only do it since 2020. I've been doing it for like, 4 years. I'm on like, this is like episode 160 or something.
But yeah,
I'm
editing
myself. I'm doing everything myself, like trying to make it, crack.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is a difficult thing to do, especially by yourself.
For sure.
And, so whenever I see somebody that's actually out there just doing what they say they're going to do, it's one of those things that I like immediately want to get behind, because I know how hard it is to get over your own inner voices, your insecurities, the things that you feel like, I'm not good at this. Most people shut down at that point once they're like, I am not good at this. And then the people who really elevate are the ones that are like, I'm not good, but I'll find somebody that is. I'll find somebody that knows.
For sure.
Hire them.
Yep, and absolutely.
So,
yeah,
bro, that's going to be a beautiful and amazing thing. I cannot wait. I appreciate you, man, taking time to speak to me. It really, really, really means a lot. You're a Hail Mary grab, like you and Brian Zahn, like are like Hail Mary grabs, meaning like we just throw it out there and like, let's see if this person wants to rock with us. Yeah, no expectations. No reason for them to come talk to us, because, I always get in my head about, man, I don't ever want to reach out to anybody, because if their brand is bigger than my brand, I don't want them to think I'm trying to clout chase. So I'm just going to stay in my own lane.
Yeah, no. Nah.
But I'm appreciative that you would have this conversation, man. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Well, I want to tell you, man, we do get a lot of invitations, but we're spirit-led people, bro. Like, it's not like that they look like they got something. They don't look like they got something. Like every invitation that comes in, we're like, Holy Spirit, do you want us to do this? And it's like, that's up to you. That's up to you. No, 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 no. That's up to you. Yes, do that one. And when your invitation came through, it was like, I had such a peace in my heart. It was like the Holy Spirit was like, you're going to do that one. That's why I had so much anxiety when I looked down at my phone. And, they told me like, yo, you were supposed to be on this pod already. And I panicked, bro. I'm like, oh my God, because I'm like, I know I was supposed to be on here. And the fact that I missed the time window, bro, I thought y'all was going to be wrapping up mad at me. I was, dude, I had instant anxiety, bro. Like I was about to be on CNN or something.
Bro, that actually means a lot, man.
No, I'm honored.
That means a lot, because to be 100, like in this space, like this year, I was giving it my all as far as this podcast is concerned. Like I'm like, I hired an assistant. I'm doing this 30-minute format, and I have enough episodes banked to release every week for the whole year. And I'm just like, I'm just gonna give it my all, because you always wonder, man, God, am I wasting time? Am I being effective? And, am I supposed to be doing this? Is this actually a thing that I should be doing? And so it definitely means a lot that at least you felt like, yo, man, this is one that I need to do. Cause that does.
And for sure.
In an awesome way, it makes me feel like, all right, Jesus, well, I'm doing something right. I really, really do.
That's right. It. Absolutely. Yeah, man. I'm here to serve, bro. Anything you need, just let me know.
For sure, man. For sure. I appreciate you. I'm gonna let you go back to your day. Y'all, I'm gonna put all of Tim's you probably already know about him, but I'm gonna put his stuff in the description anyway, so you guys can get a hold of everything that he's doing, keep up with him. And like we always say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
That's dope.